Vayedaber Hashem Moshe leimer Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron Hakayin heishiv es chamosim me'al b'nei Yisrael b'kanayas ki nasi b'seicham. Pinchas turned my anger away from the Jewish people. B'kanayas ki nasi b'seicham. When he was mekane, when he was zealous, my zealousness in their midst. I'm translating the pasuk very literally. V'lechilisias b'nei Yisrael b'kinasi. And therefore I did not destroy the b'nei Yisrael, the Jewish people, in my zealousness, in my anger. L'chein emor, therefore I say, hineni noisen lo, behold, I am giving him as brisi shalom, my covenant of peace, and he will have for him and for his descendants bris kunas olam. Tachas asher kinele lo kova yichapir al b'nei Yisrael. Because of Pinchas's dramatic and heroic act of being zealous on behalf of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, therefore he is awarded with the bris of kahuna, with the covenant of kahuna, brisi, the covenant of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What's the idea here? Rashi says, "V'kanayas ki nasi b'seicham, b'nokma yasnik masi." When he took my revenge, "V'katzvay es haketzef shohayoli liktzayf." When he demonstrated the anger that I would have, should have demonstrated. And that's the idea. Pinchas felt what Hashem, so to speak, felt. Pinchas reacted the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself would have reacted. And that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him brisi. That's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him his bris, his covenant. The covenant which would ultimately take the form, as he says, of bris kahunas olam. Why? A bris, a covenant, as we've discussed at different times, is an intense relationship. Chazal teach us, Rashi notes this, we see it incident after incident of bris, that a bris is, derech karsei bris, is the way of people who make a covenant is that they take an item and they split it in half. Like you have by the bris bein habsarim, the covenant between the pieces of avanim, where he took a whole bunch of different kinds of animals and he cut them in half, and the fire passed between them. And the idea is because a bris is where the two say, we are connected, we're like one. We're like two halves of one whole. Just like you took this animal and you split it in half, and there was half of it over here and half of it over there, and you knew they're two halves of one whole, so too, the two of us, we are like two halves of one whole. We are connected in that way. That's the intensity of bris. That's the intensity of the relationship called bris, called the covenant. So if you look at it and you say, well, Pinchas is awarded with the bris with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why? Because Pinchas is indeed connected to Hashem. He feels like Hashem. He reacts like Hashem. B'kanayas kinasi, b'nokmayas tikmasi. He feels my jealousness. He takes the revenge on my behalf. Pinchas reacts as HaKadosh Baruch Hu reacts. And because that's the case, he is, that's an indicator, and therefore also ends up being, in a formal sense, a creator of the bris, of the covenant which he has with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the simple idea. I want to just bring to you one more piece about this, one more source about this, specifically in the context of this story of Pinchas, and before we look and try to understand this concept more broadly. The beginning of Parshas Pinchas is a continuation of the story that occurs at the very end of last week's Parsha, Parshas Balak. Last week's Parsha, at the end, Bilam, who runs out of tricks in his bag of curses to level at the Jewish people, so he says, Elokeim shalelu sainezima, the God of these people hates immorality, let me get them stuck in immoral behavior, and then they'll be subject to all kinds of problems. So he comes up with the plan, which was implemented by the Bnei Ismayav, the Bnei Midyan, the Bnei Ismayav, that they would seduce the Jewish people into relationships with them. So what happens? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, "Vayemer Hashem al Moshe, kachas kol rashei ha'am, take all the heads, all the leaders of the nation, v'hoika isam l'Hashem neged Hashemesh." Okay, we're going to read it simply again, and hang them up to Hashem opposite the sun. V'yoshev charenach Hashem Yisrael. And Hashem's anger will turn away from the Jewish people. What? You're going to hang the leaders of the Jewish people? Says Rashi, es ha'evdim. No, take the leaders of the people, and they will hang the ones who were ensnared by the women of Moab and were worshipping Baal Peor, their Avodah Zorah, which they lured them into, they will take them and they will hang them up. So we're missing a little bit of a pronoun here. It's based on a Gemara in Sanhedrin. The Gemara in Sanhedrin says, Vayemer Hashem al Moshe kachas kol Rosh Yom, ima'am chotu Rosh Yom achotu. Reading the pasuk simply, the people sinned. So why are you taking the leaders and stringing them up? Omar Rav Yehuda, Omar Rav, Omar le HaKadosh Baruch Hu le Moshe, chalek lohem batei dinim. Go and set up for them separate batei dinim, separate courts. Separate courts. Set up, kachas kol Rosh Yom, set up all kinds of leaders, get all the leaders of the people and set up courts here, there, everywhere in order to bring these people to justice. That's what he suggested. So the Gemara says, hold on one second. Hold on one second, says the Gemara. Why do you have to do that? Why do you need many different batei dinim? The way he's understanding it is that, again, that the instruction is, make many batei dinim. So why do you need kol Rosh Hayom? Just have a bet then and judge all the worshippers. Ilema mishum she'en donim shnayim b'yayim echad, v'amar abchizda le'shanu elu b'shtey misa, yisavu misa achaz donim. So the Gemara says maybe the reason is, and this is really the sugya here, maybe the reason is because you're not supposed to judge two capital cases on one day. A court has to leave its mind very clear for a case of such significance. So you're not supposed to judge two capital cases on one day. So that's why he says make a lot of courts so you'll be able to take care of many. You won't have a backlog in the court system. But ask the Gemara, that's only when it's two different deaths, when it's two different kinds of cases. But if it's one kind of case and just multiple defendants for the same crime, so then it's not confusing. And you can judge many in the same court. Ella, answers the Gemara, that wasn't the reason. The reason wasn't because one bezdin couldn't handle it. Kidei sheyoshuv charein af miYisrael. Because the pasuk continues and says that the anger of Hashem will turn away from the Jewish people. The reason why you want to have many courts is to be able to make it that indeed Hashem's anger will turn away from the Jewish people. Why? What's the idea? Says Rashi, what's v'yoshuv charein af Hashem? K'shakadosh Baruch Hu raya shakulim asukim b'davar. When Hashem sees that there's widespread involvement in this thing. That there isn't just a few people who are sitting and saying, you know what, we have to judge the people who are doing it. But he sees kol Rosh Hayom, he sees it broadly amongst the leadership of the Jewish people, that they're all involved. Umikanim lichvaydai, and they are zealous for the honor of Hashem. They're reacting to the terrible thing which happened here. That's what makes Hashem's anger turn away from the Jewish people. When we are feeling what he is feeling, when we are bekanoes kinasi, then Yoshev Chareinaf Hashem Yisrael. Pinchas was the single individual who represents this in the strongest way, because what he did was so dramatic and so out of the ordinary. But Hashem's instruction to Moshe to begin with was to get all of the leaders, all of those who were suited to be judges, to get them involved, and to also be zealous on Hashem's behalf, to react and to respond in the same way. When they would be mekane lichvayd Hashem, they would be zealous on behalf of the honor of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In a certain sense, the way you could say it simply is that, you know, if they're doing my work, then I don't have to do it. If they're expressing my sensitivities, so then my work is being done. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I don't have to step in. I don't have to interfere. They're doing everything that I would want to do. So I can stay out of this. On one level, of course, that's the truth. On a second level, what this does is, it creates such a bond, such a connection. When you see someone who feels the same way that you do, that reacts the same way that you do, so then there's no opposition. There's no two sides over here. That creates the ultimate chibur, the ultimate connection between one and another, in this case between heaven and earth, between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Jewish people. When widespread amongst the Jewish people is the kind of revulsion and response that Hashem feels, that's the ultimate bond, and that of course turns Hashem's anger away from the Jewish people. When we're passionate about the things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, so to speak, is passionate about. That's what happens in the initial and the broad sense of the story, and that's the way it is implemented specifically when it comes to Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen. So now let's try to look at this a little bit broader. Excuse me. There's another Gemara in Sanhedrin. The Gemara is at the end of Maseches, towards the end of Maseches Sanhedrin, Daf Kuf Yud Omer Aleph, in Perek Chelek. The Gemara says that during the story of Kairach, Shemesh Yireach Amad Zavula Lo'er Chitzecha Yalechu Melamed. This teaches you. It's a pasuk in Chavakuk. Melamed Sh'olu Shemesh V'yireach L'Zvul. The heaven, the sun and the moon went up to the Zvul, to the residence of Hashem in the heavens. And Amru Lefanav, and they said, Ribbono Shel Olam, Imat Oseh Din Levein Amram Neitzei V'im Lav Lo Neitzei. If you will go and stand up for Moshe Rabbeinu, for the Ben Amram, in his dispute with Korach, we'll go out and we'll shine. We'll do our work. But if not, we won't. Poor Moshe Rabbeinu. Look what's happening to him. Look how he is under attack from Korach. Ad shezorach behem chitzim. Until Hashem, so to speak, shot arrows at them. Say, what are you doing? Amar lohen, he said to them, b'chvaydi loy mechisem. B'chvayd basar v'adam mechisem. For my honor, you didn't say anything. When you see the Ayvdei Avodah Zarah, right, as Rashi says, B'chol yoy malchei mizrach umarov, B'shor sheminichim kisrayim b'roshim mishtachvim l'chama. Right, the kings of the world, every morning they get up as the sun is higher in the sky and they bow down to the sun. That didn't bother you. You never said, we're not going to go out until you go and punish them. Even though what they're doing is an affront to me. But for Abbasar Vadam, for Maisha Rabbeinu Mechisem, for him you do respond. Right? So says the Gemara, Va'idna le'nafki adamachiluhu. So once they saw that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that you're not being Meichel L'chvaydi, you don't feel for me, so they said, you know, you're right. We're not going to do it. How can we come out if these Avdei Avodah Zarah are worshipping? We're not going to come out until they stop worshipping Avodah Zarah. So Hashem has to force the sun and moon to come out on a daily basis. The Gemara talks about this idea of Hashem's rebuke. He says, you come to me about something that you're upset about for Basar Vadam, and you are not sensitive to those things that it would seem you should be sensitive of on my behalf. Things which would be issues on my behalf. For quite HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is looking for. And this, in fact, is brought out more, even more so, in a Gemara, a third Gemara in Sanhedrin, an earlier Gemara in Sanhedrin, and Daf Kuf Gimel Amud Beis. The Gemara tells the story as follows. Al Dovar Zeh Nenshu Anshei Pilegish Begiva. It was for this, says the Gemara, that the people in the time of the story of Pilegesh Begiva were punished. Amar lehem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem said to them, B'chvaydi lehem mechisem, al kvaydei shel basar v'adam mechisem. For my honor you did not protest, but for the honor of human beings you did. What's the Gemara speaking about here? There are two stories at the end of the book of Shoftim. I've discussed this with some of you before. There's two stories at the end of the book of Shoftim. One story is the story of Pesel Micha. There was a person named Micha who created or brought an idol. The whole complex midrashic story about the genesis of this idol, that he created an idol and he created a temple towards for the worship of this idol. And this temple functioned in the Jewish people for many, many, many years. It started with the Yetzias Mitzrayim. And it continued, and it was a presence in the Jewish people. There was a temple again, and in fact, Yonasan ben Gershom, ben Moshe, was the kohen for Pesel Micha. And the Gemara describes, just in the lines previous, that it says that Oshon Hamarachav Oshon Pesel Micha Mis Arvin Zeh Bozeh, that the smoke from the marocha, from the fires of the Mizbeach, of the Beis HaMikdash, would mix with the smoke which came from the Mizbeach in front of the Pesel Micha. And you can imagine, this is an Avodah Zarah in the Jewish people. And it was there, and it stayed there for a long time. The next story, it says in the book of Shoftim, is the story of Pilegesh Megivah, which is a horrifying story that occurs in where a woman was attacked by a mob of part of Shevet Binyamin. Attacked by a mob, and the man who was with this woman, he did something very drastic. He went and he took her remains. She died. He took her remains and he cut them into pieces, and he sent packages to all Shiftei Yisrael with a piece of the remains of this person, as a way of, in very stark form, bringing out the horror of what had happened. And he successfully galvanized the Jewish people that they came against Binyamin to react in horror to what was done. Which would seem to be, of course, the first action is tragic, but the response of the Jewish people should seem to be fantastic. But, says the Gemara, Anshei Pilegesh Begiva, the people of Pilegesh Begiva, the nation that came to fight against Binyamin, it didn't go smoothly. They didn't win in their first foray into battle. The opposite. They suffered significant setbacks in the beginning. Says the Gemara, why? Omar Lohen, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because Hashem said to them, B'chvaydi lo mechisem, al kvaydei shel basar v'dam mechisem. For my honor, you said nothing. There's something called Pesel Micha. There's an idol being worshipped, an affront to Hashem on an ongoing basis. Does that bother you? Did you do anything about that? Did the Jews rally around to go and stand up against the people in Dun where this was happening? No, they didn't. You did it just for, you saw a person suffering. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I'm impressed, but I'm not completely impressed. The distance that creates, the fact that you showed sensitivity for another person is a good thing. But the fact that you showed no sensitivity for Kvaidi, for me, betrays a tremendous distance between you, the Bnei Yisrael, and I, the Rabbeinu Shalom. And so, the Jewish people don't get it. They don't get it so quickly. They don't get the positive things and the success, really, in the mission that they're trying to accomplish so quickly. In order to have this connection between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we have to feel his feelings. We have to be meichel lechvayda. We have to be concerned with his honor. It's true of any people. Right? When you have two people who have a relationship, whether it's friends, whether it's a spouse, whether it's a sibling, whether it's a friend, whatever it is, the key to the strength of relationship is where one understands what the other one is feeling and reacts according to the way the other one is feeling. That's what creates the connection. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, there's an Avodah Zarah blaring, going away there by Micha, and it doesn't affect you. It doesn't affect you. And in a certain sense, when I see that you have a capability of being responsive, and you are responsive to some things, but you're still not responsive to what's going on with me, it hurts me. And I don't understand it. And I feel the distance as a result. That's the gadlus of Pinchas. That's the significance of what was being asked here from Rashi Ha'am. And let's perhaps take this back to the story of Pinchas to look at another aspect which would seem to express this. The story of Pinchas was Pinchas getting up and attacking Zimri ben Salu, who was Nesi Beis Av LaShimoni, a prince in the tribe of Shimon. This is Pinchas ben Elozer ben Aaron HaKayin from Shevet Levi, attacking Zimri from the tribe of Shimon. Now, this story, and Chazal see it this way, is of fundamental significance, because it's Levi versus Shimon. And we are used to, from the early days, Levi and Shimon being partners. Shimon v'Levi, Achim. Yaakov Avinu characterized Shimon and Levi as brothers. What do they mean? All the boys who we were talking to were brothers. So there are two pshatim, and what it means, Shimon v'Levi Achim. One pshat is that Shimon v'Levi Achim, Shimon and Levi, they do everything together. They are the dynamic duo. They're really brotherly with each other. They're all brothers here. But right? Reuven got his own bracha, Yehuda got his own bracha, Yisachar got his own bracha, Zevulun got his own, Dan got his own, Naftali got his own, Godaz. All the Shvatim got their own bracha. Shimon v'Levi, together. Why? Because they did everything together. What did they do together? Well, we know explicitly that they did together is the story of Shechem, which is, to some degree, the simple pshat of what Yaakov Avinu is addressing. Chazal tell us, you know what else they did? They did the story of Mechiras Yosef. They sold Yosef. Right? That was Shimon and Levi, who we know to be achim, to be brothers. They do things together. They did things together, and here, Levi is standing, Shimon is standing, they're standing at odds with each other. Shimon, Zimri ben Salu, stands up to Moshe Rabbeinu from Levi. Pinchas, also the son of Levi, comes and kills him. They couldn't be more different. Here we see a parting of the ways between Shimon and Levi. What's going on? What's pshat? They were partners before, and now they're not. What happens? So, what happened before in the story of Shechem and Dinah? Their sister, Dina, was taken by this man Shechem. And she was violated in a very terrible way by Shechem. And Shimon and Levi hear this and they are infuriated. They're infuriated. Hakiz, right? They speak to the one Asher Timei is Dina Achaisam, who violated the purity of Dina, their sister. When Yaakov Avinu reproaches them and says, look what you're doing, look how you are ruining my relationship with the nations that I'm trying to manage and survive amongst. So they say, Hakizaina Yases Achaisenu, who should our sister become like a Zaina, like a loose, free, available woman? They stood up for their sister, which, parenthetically, is the second pshat in Shimon v'Levi Achim. Shimon v'Levi Achim on the first interpretation was that they're brothers with each other, they're partners. On the other hand, Shimon v'Levi Achim is that they have a tremendous feeling of brotherhood. How do you see? Because when something happened to their sister, it went to their gut, and they had to react to it. They had a tremendous feeling of responsibility to their siblings. Beautiful thing. But you see, there are two possibilities here as to what is going to be offending them. Because when such a thing happens to Dina, on the one hand, somebody did something which is hurtful, which is painful to their sister. And on the other hand, not to contradict the first, but to supplement the first. Asher timei es Dina achaisam. What happened wasn't just a humiliation. What happened was a violation of the purity of the Kedushas Yisrael. On the one hand, it's an affront, and on the other hand, it's a violation of something which is sacred and special. What was their reaction based on? It could have been based on either. It could have been based on both. And it could be that one has a reaction this way, one has a reaction that way. When Yosef HaTzadik presents to the brothers a perceived threat, and Shimon and Levi, the brothers, speak about Yosef, right? Nosu mizeh, he see us, right? As the pasuk says, so they said, Yosef went looking for them, and he said, Esachai anoichi mevakesh, I'm looking for my brothers. And the man who meets him, Chazal say, the Malach Gavriel says, Nosu mizeh, they traveled from here. Says Rashi, he see us, they're not your brothers. They traveled away from brothers. They don't feel like your brother anymore. And Shimon Levi speak in strange terms. The dreamer is coming. They don't speak of him as a brother. Right? And then they go sell him. So what is it? This is Shimon v'Levi Achim. Well, to some degree, you know, they're defending their family. They see Yosef is trying to take over the family with his dreams of ruling over them. You know, there could be different meanings to their objection. There could be different layers. There's personal dignity. There's being pushed aside. There is being pushed out of the connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is the way, to some degree, they viewed him as being right, as pursuing their spiritual life. There's ambiguity in the violent objection which they have in both of these stories. And then we get to our story.
And our story is a point where Shimon stands on one side and Levi stands on the other side. Shimon, Zimri ben Solomon, and Sibbe Savo Shimaini, stands with a daughter of Midian, taking her, not worrying about the Kedusha of the Jewish people, giving his seed outside of the Jewish people, with Avodah Zarah that's bound up in this story. He's standing up to Moshe Rabbeinu, who says to him, "You can't do this." And he says, "Moshe, what are you saying? I can't do this. Who you married Bas Yisrael, and she's also from Midian." It's not a stand for Kedusha. It may be a stand for strength, it may be a stand for dignity, it may be a stand for rights, but it's not a stand for Kedusha. Pinchas, his kavod that he's being meicher for is not kvayd chem, or it's kvaydai, it's the honor of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So in a sense, that story of Dina, which could be a story of kvayd basar v'dam, of kvayd chem, and it could be a story of kvayd shemayim, that both Shimon and Levi were involved with. Here, when we get to the story of Pinchas and Zimri, is where you have the great divide, where it comes out that one of them, it seems, is motivated perhaps by the strength of pride, of tribe, of personal, of national pride, where the other one is driven very strongly by Kvaydai, by the honor of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's Pinchas. And that's the true Levi. And that's Bekaneh Eskinasi. And that's why Levi as a whole, Shevet Levi, becomes Chelek Hashem, the portion of Hashem, bound up with Hashem, connected to Hashem. Shimon is very differently, even absorbed within Shevet Yehuda. It's a different story. A different story, a different connection, a different relationship. The Rabbeinu Shel Olam, the Gemara says, also in Sanhedrin, the Gemara says that when Yisrael is mitzvah, when a Jewish people suffer, when a Jewish people suffer, when the Rasha suffers, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, "Kilani meiraishi, kilani mizrei." He says, "My head hurts, my arm hurts." HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that he feels whatever it is the pain is that the Jewish people feel. It's not just here we're reading about this thing that Hashem is sitting there and waiting for us to feel His pain. But it goes the other way around too. We have an idea which is said over and over again. All right, Yaakov Avinu is going down to Mitzrayim. Hashem says to him, "Al teira mirda Mitzrayima. Anoichi ered imcha Mitzrayima. I'm going to go down with you to Mitzrayim. V'anoichi alcha gam alai. And I'm going to come up with you too." And what does that tell you? That tells you when the Jewish people go into Golos, Hashem goes into Golos. Imai anoichi b'tzara. I'm with him in his pain, in his difficulty. When Moshe Rabbeinu first encountered Hashem, when the Jewish people were in Mitzrayim, where did Hashem appear to him from? From a sneh, from a prickly thorn bush. Why? Because if the Jewish people are suffering pain and poking and suffering, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu is experiencing the same thing. He doesn't sit in a comfortable armchair while the Jewish people are that way. Why? Because he feels what the Jewish people feel. He feels what the Jewish people feel. That's a relationship. That's a connection. This week was Shivasar B'Tammuz. Shivasar B'Tammuz begins the period of the Bein, what we call Bein HaMitzarim. Bein HaMitzarim, between the boundaries. Kol Reitfer, it says in Megillah Seichel, Kol Reitfer Yisigua Bein HaMitzarim. All those who pursued them successfully caught up to them Bein HaMitzarim. This is a period which historically for Kol Yisrael, from our first beginnings, from right after 40 days after Matan Torah on Shivasar B'Tammuz, 41 days after Shavuos on Shivasar B'Tammuz, the Luchais were broken. The beginning of all of our difficulties. The Egel Hazav, the golden calf, Uviyayim Pokti, Pokadati Aleim Chatasam. And from then and onward, the churbanos, the destructions of the Batei Mikdashos, and so many things, they're all part and parcel of this kufa. This is the period when we have the greatest conscious mourning of the churban, of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. Excuse me. And of course, therefore, at the same time, the greatest yearning, the greatest strong yearning for the coming of the Mashiach. Why do we yearn for Mashiach? Why do we hope for it? What is it that we want more than anything else? You know, the Rambam writes at the end of Hilchas Malachim that the Jewish people didn't yearn for Mashiach so that they'd be able to rule over the nations. But they yearned for Mashiach because in the times of Mashiach, with the ease from enemies and from persecution, we'll be able to really be able to know HaKadosh Baruch. We'll be freed from the narishkeit and be able to focus on more special things. That's what the Rambam writes. I think, interestingly, there are reasons, obviously, why the Rambam writes that way. But in our liturgy, in our Nevi'im, and in our tefillahs, we seem to sing a different tune. Yes, it's true, we don't yearn, as the Rambam dismissed, we don't do it because we want wealth and we want power and we want wonderful things, all the beautiful pictures we have of the coming of Mashiach, for its own sake. What we want more than anything else is, as we say most repeatedly in the tefillahs of the Yom Ne'iroyim, V'chein tein pachtucha Hashem alekeinu al kol ma'asecha. Right, Hashem, please put your all over all your creations. V'yeda kol pol kiyata pa'altai v'yavin kol yitzur kiyata yitzartai. Let every creature know that you made him. Let everyone which you formed, everything which was formed, let know that you're the one who formed them. We watch and we see a world where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is ignored. HaKadosh Baruch Hu shchinta begalusa. The Rebbein Hashem is in galus. He's in galus because we're in galus. Okay. So he's going out because of sympathy for us. But what's driving us crazy is not us. What's driving us crazy is him. Is the fact that the Rebbein Hashem, the Melech Malchei Amlochim, the creator of the world, the Rebbein Hashem, the God of the Jewish people, who did so much for us, who's Becher Ba'ama Yisrael Ba'ava, who chose the Jewish people with love and carried us out of Mitzrayim and gave us the greatest possible gift, the gift of the Torah and everything else. And the world doesn't know who he is, and the Jewish people don't know who he is, and the truth is we don't even know who he is. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu lives ignored. And that's the ache which we're supposed to feel. Not supposed to feel just the ache of the Iranian threat to the Jewish people. You're not supposed to feel just the ache of the chveis, the terrorists, and everything else. That's kvod basar v'dam. That's feeling our own. We're supposed to feel kvodai. We're supposed to feel what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is missing. What HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in this sense, doesn't have in his life. You know, the Pasuk says, Eli HaKayan was the Kayan Gadol, was the leader of the Jewish people before Shmuel HaNavi. And in his time, the Plishtim defeated the Jewish people in battle. It was one battle. And in that battle, Eli lost his two sons, Chofni and Pinchas. And the Arayim, the Ark of Hashem, was taken. And someone came and told Eli the news. And he heard that his son Chofni and Pinchas died. And when he heard that the Arayin Hashem was taken, he fell over. He collapsed. He fell over on his chair and he broke his neck and he died. That's what the Pasuk says. It was as he heard that the Arayin of Hashem was taken. It's hard to believe. He lost his own children. That didn't put him over the top. The Arayin Hashem, the Ark of Hashem, that put him over the top. That's what made Eli HaKayan. That's Pinchas. That's Bekanayis Kinasi B'Saicham. There's such a thing as feeling the tsar, the pain of the Shechina, of the Rebbein Shalom in all of this. Not simply self-centered around our own pain, around our own difficulty, but recognizing the tremendous disaster, tremendous chalashim. Think about what it is. You know, we do something, we'll go and we'll clean up the house. You know, wherever it is, we'll clean up the house, we'll put away everything, right? And then somebody comes home, whoever it is, our mother, our father, our spouse, our child, whatever it is, right? And they walk in and they just go about their business and they don't even notice. They don't even notice what we did. And we're like saying, what are they going to notice? What are they going to notice? You know, notice anything different around here? You know, like this, you know, like we need, right? We did something and we say, you know, come on. You know, recognize it. Recognize it. And we know that if it's not there, we feel it. Now, the Rabban Shem doesn't have the petty feelings which we have of, you know, needing, desperate for our recognition. But the Rabban Shem knows that without us recognizing him, what is it? What kind of a world is it that doesn't recognize its creator, its greatest presence? And we go, we walk around in this world, right? And the Rabban Shem is hidden and absent. And the Rebbe's role and his presence, nobody notices. Tsar. It's a painful thing. It's a thing which needs to be experienced as a painful thing. And that's the avoda of these days. That's the avoda of the Yemei Bein HaMetzarim, the days of the 3 weeks, to feel the kanei eskinasi, to feel HaKadosh Baruch Hu's feelings. The distance which exists between ourselves and the Ribono Shel Olam is a distance of b'chvaydi le'mechisem. You don't feel my pain. What kind of connection is there if you don't feel what I'm feeling? What kind of connection is there if you don't feel what I'm feeling? So tzadikim, chassidim, v'anshei maisa, I did it a whole year. Do it a whole year. But people who didn't do it a whole year would do it during the 3 weeks, during the 9 days. They would do tikkun chatzais. They would get up at midnight and they would cry over the churban. That's what tikkun chatzais is. To cry over the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. To cry over the honor which HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't get. To cry over the sensitivity which we don't afford him. That's the avodah. To have sensitivity to chilul Hashem, to the desecration of Hashem's name. Asei l'man shemecha, asei l'man yiminecha, asei l'man kedushasecha, asei l'man terasecha. The end of our Shemoneh Esrei, we daven, we ask Hashem for all the things in the world, and we say, Hashem, do it for the sake of your name. Do it for the sake of your strength. Do it for the sake of your holiness. Do it for the sake of your Torah. Don't say, Rabbeinu Shalom, we need this, we need that. Hashem, for your sake. We're mispalel Leman Shemai Biava. For the sake of his name, Biava. That's what it is. That's the power of Pinchas. That was the Kayach which Pinchas had. That's the Kayach. That's the power which Pinchas had, which Pinchas felt more than anything else. The Kanayas Kinasivasechan, to feel the feelings of HaKadosh Baruch. It's a beautiful relationship we have with HaKadosh Baruch. When we go into Golos, Hashem suffers with us. He feels, he knows what the Jewish people are going through. He can't be comfortable. Klani Miraishi, Klani Mizrei. And we're, to a great degree, supposed to be the same. We're supposed to be, to some degree, oblivious to our pain and thinking only of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Sounds lofty. Sounds dramatic. How can you expect that we're not oblivious to our pain, feeling only pain? Okay, so you don't have to be oblivious we don't have to be oblivious to our own pain, but to be able to feel what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is feeling, to be able to feel the pain of Chilul Hashem. Kanayas kinasi b'seicham, b'chvaydi mechisem, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu will say, "Ah, you feel my honor and you protest my honor," then we're one. Then we're together. Then there's nothing more that needs to happen. Then there's the connection between Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, real, tangible, and solid. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should help us, that we should be able to be margish b'tzarei. We should be able to sense his pain, his anguish in the golos, in the hester panim, and through that connection, sensitivity, establish the greatest chibur, the greatest connection, so that Hashem will make the connection obvious and clear that the Gula Shlema should come from Herav Yomei.